Proverbs is chock full of financial wisdom from above. For example, know well the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds. For riches do not last forever, and does a crown endure for all generations? You might not have any flocks or herds, but you probably possess stocks, bonds, real estate, and monthly cash flow that all require careful management. The old adage is true, pay attention to the pennies and the dollars take care of themselves. Even Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. If you are penny wise and pound foolish, you need a budget. A spending plan that tells you where your money should go before you wonder where it went. I'm Ron Jones. Something good starts right now.
Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, other than Jesus Christ. So if he has something to say about money management, it's a good idea to listen. Hello, I'm Brian Davis, and this is Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. You may not know it, but Ron's undergraduate degree is in financial planning. Today, he uses that knowledge, plus some wisdom from the book of Proverbs, to share what he calls the 10-10-80 financial plan. Stay with us now as he continues his teaching series, Wise Sayings, Guidance for Everyday Life. Or come see us at somethinggoodradio.org to listen to the broadcast on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Listen and subscribe to the podcast at Spotify or wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Now from Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia, where he serves as lead pastor. Here's Ron with part two of his message, Financially Wise and Otherwise.
Honor the Lord with the first fruits. In other words, the first, and I'll say 10% and explain why in a moment, but the first 10% goes to the Lord. You give to God first. I said it earlier in the series. You can't say God is first in your life if he's last in your budget, if all you give to him are the leftovers. I remember a story years ago. Paul Harvey, the famous radio commentator out of Chicago, was told the story about a lady who discovered at the bottom of her freezer in her basement, she had a butterball turkey that had been there in there, you know, I don't know, 8 or 10 years, she guessed. And she decided it was time to pull it out of there, defrost it, and, you know, fix it up and feed it to her family. But she was a little bit concerned that, you know, it had been in there for a really, really long time and wasn't quite sure whether it was still edible. So she called up the butterball turkey hotline, talked to a customer service rep there, explained the situation. Well, they had never received a call like that before. And so, they put her on hold for a couple minutes, got all the supervisors together. They came back and said, well, ma'am, this is a really odd conversation and an odd call. We've never had an experience like this before, but we stand behind our product. We think that it's still edible, but if you do, you know, choose to feed it to your family, you're kind of on your own. We can't guarantee anything. And she said, well, I kind of thought that was the answer you were going to give to me, so my other alternative is just to give it to the church. True story. True story. From the lips of Paul Harvey. And it makes me never to want to go to a church potluck again. You never know what's coming out of somebody's kitchen, right? Just the phrase potluck scares me. But it kind of describes the way a lot of us give to God, doesn't it? It's the leftovers. And again, you can't say he's first in your life if he's last in your budget. And not only that, but God's economic principles will not kick in for you unless you put him first. Listen again to Proverbs. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He said that at the end of a section of scripture where he's dealing with worry. You ever worry about money? Having enough money to do this, that, or the other thing? But Jesus said the antidote to worry is put God first in your life. Just seek him first and his righteousness, and then he'll take care of the rest. He really does. Now, I say give to God first, and that's the first 10%. Why 10%? Well, that refers to the tithe principle in the scripture. And in the Old Testament, a tithe was an apportionment, which meant a tenth. And back in the Old Testament, under the law of Moses, there were several tithing laws that were given to the people of Israel. I look at it as when God wanted to teach his people to give generously, he gave them the tithing laws. And the Old Testament Israelites lived under those laws for many, many years. But 400 years before it ever became a law under the Mosaic law, it was a lifestyle practiced by none other than Abraham and Jacob. Read the story of Abraham and Jacob. As a way of honoring God, they gave a tithe of their income, a tenth of their income to the Lord as a way of honoring him, as a way of acknowledging to him that he's the owner of everything. And I'm just a manager, managing a sacred trust that you've given to me. Tithing is a principle throughout the scripture. It's the minimum expression of generosity found anywhere in the Bible. Anybody who's considered generous in the Bible started with 10%. It's a starting point in our giving. It's been a starting point in our giving in the Jones family, and we want to, you know, and have many times gone beyond that. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, the Lord says, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need." You have a hard time trusting God with your finances? Okay. He says, put me to the test. It's the only time in the Bible where the Lord gives us the permission to test him. And I'm glad he does, because it's hard sometimes to trust the Lord with our finances, to get that paycheck. And the first check that you cut is to the Lord. That's a step of faith right there. It doesn't take any faith to wait until the end of the month and see if you got something left over to drop into the offering plate. That doesn't take any faith. It takes faith to give to God first. And that's what God wants to do, is to stretch our faith. And if he can do it through something tangible and practical like our finances, well, that's a win-win for him. So we give to God first. I've said to people for more than two decades in ministry, take the 90-day giving challenge. If you have a hard time trusting the Lord in this area, tithe for 90 days. And if a financial disaster befalls you, call our business office and we'll send you your money back. I confidently make that guarantee. Why? Because the Lord says, put me to the test and see if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I've seen it happen over and over and over and over and over again in our family and in so many other families. So this 10-10-80 financial plan, yeah, the first one's a little bit of a stretch for some of us. Give to God first and give him that tithe. Secondly, pay yourself. You give to God first with the first 10%, then with the second 10%, you pay yourself. That's called savings and investments. You have to plan for the future. In fact, you need two portfolios in your life. You need an eternal portfolio. That's giving to God. That's what Jesus said when he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I take that to mean there's a heavenly 401k account that opened up when you became a believer in Jesus Christ. The question is, are you putting anything into it? Will anything be in that account when you arrive in heaven? Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. That's your heavenly, your heavenly portfolio, your eternal portfolio. The other portfolio you need is an earthly portfolio. This is savings and investments. This is just wise financial planning. This is a choice you make not to live paycheck to paycheck and to even go beyond that and to spend more than you have, but to live within your means and to understand that you're going to have to plan for the future. Proverbs 21 and verse 20 says, "In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has." To put it in our vernacular, in the house of the wise are savings accounts and investment accounts and retirement accounts and college savings funds, but a foolish man lives paycheck to paycheck and never puts anything aside for the future. Again, 76% of Americans, less than $1,000 in the bank. That's a scary place to be. I say to young people, start this when you get your first job. and even your first job out of college, start. Because the way to build wealth the Bible way is not through a get-rich-quick scheme. It's not by buying a lottery ticket. Come on, that's gambling. That's not trusting a sovereign God to lead you. That's putting your trust in chance. And we don't do that as Christians. The way to build wealth the Bible way is little by little over a long period of time, getting compound interest and time to work in your favor, making wise financial investments according to God's financial principles. You do that and you start early in life, you're not going to have any problems. Yeah, there may be some financial setbacks here and there, but if you haven't done this, you might need to accelerate some of this plan, do some catch up, all right? But start by giving to God first. You might have to pay yourself a little bit more and get your living expenses down here because payday's coming, all right? There's coming a time when you won't be able to work as vigorously as you are now, and you're going to need that nest egg, not to retire, but to refire for the next thing that God has for you in life, right? So in the house of the wise are stores of choice food. If you're not inspired by that, just consider the ant. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6, go to the ant, O sluggard, you lazy sluggard. Consider her ways, just a little bitty ant. He says, be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. Even the ant, the little bitty ant, plans ahead and stores up for the coming winter. Joseph did this in the Old Testament. Remember Joseph when he rose through the ranks of, you know, Potiphar's prison and all that and became second in command in Egypt? And God shared with him a vision of 7 years of famine coming. So what did Joseph do? He was wise enough to store up grain for the next 7 years so that when the hard times came, Egypt could feed the world. Pretty wise thing for Joseph to do.
We'll return to Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones in just a moment. Listen on demand to any of Ron's messages at somethinggoodradio.org. While you're there, be sure to check out our digital library, where you can find more than 500 hours of video and audio teaching from Dr. Ron Jones. Search the streaming library by scripture or topic for answers to some of your most challenging questions. That's the digital library at somethinggoodradio.org. So let me ask you, would you like to have a more passionate prayer life? If so, you may want to get in touch with us today and request your copy of Ron's full-length book, The Jesus Way to Pray, an intimate journey through the Lord's Prayer. Join Ron as he guides you phrase by phrase through the power and beauty of the prayer that begins, Our Father in Heaven, hallowed be your name. That's The Jesus Way to Pray, an intimate journey through the Lord's Prayer. Order your copy for a donation of $25 or more. Share it with a friend by requesting a 2-pack for $50, a 4-pack for $75, or an 8-pack for $150 or more. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099 or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456. Now let's get back to Ron for the second half of today's message, Financially Wise and Otherwise.
I want to suggest you need three kinds of savings buckets. First, you need an emergency savings. Why? Because life happens. The car breaks down, the washer and dryer breaks down, or there's an unforeseen medical expense. And given the affordable care program we're under today, which is not all that affordable, I mean, probably you or your employer are paying up to $15,000, maybe $20,000 a year just for the premium. And then you got a $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 deductible on top of that. You're spending $20,000 to $25,000 before the plan pays a single penny. And you have one little minor surgery that takes you into the OR, and you're going to get a $3,000-$4,000 bill. You got to have emergency savings because life happens. You also need retirement savings. Now, retirement is not necessarily a biblical concept. God has a plan for us from the cradle to the grave. But there is that time in life when you might not be able to generate as much income as you are right now, and you need to plan for that that time to sustain yourself financially. That's savings and investments. And if you didn't start early, you need to start today and accelerate that, because that day is coming. And then college savings is another one. We have two kids, you know, in college, or one that's finishing high school this year, another one that's a freshman. Oh my, the college bills are upon us. Well, we started when they were, 3 hours old, opening up that 529 plan and putting as much as we could in over the years, little by little, over a long period of time. We got partway there, but, you know, we still have to figure out a way to finish out those college years. You got to plan for that. So you give to God first, you pay yourself second, and then you live off the rest. That means adjusting your standard of living. One of the best decisions Catherine and I ever made financially, and we haven't always done it right, but was the first house that we bought. At that time, we were newly married, and we were dinks. Double income, no kids. That's a great place to be, all right? Great place to be. We both had a professional income. I was pastoring my first church. She was in the corporate world. And we had a lot of disposable income, and we wanted to buy our first house. And I remember the mortgage company saying, wow, look at all this buying power you had. But we also anticipated the day, Lord willing, when he would give us some children. And Catherine had a desire to be a stay-at-home mom. And so we resisted the urge to buy this, and we bought a house qualifying with my income, maybe a little bit of hers, okay? And that's how we've bought our house every time, always, you know, below our means. It's a wonderful way to live, okay? But you have to consciously make that decision, and you have to come together as a husband and a wife and get on the same financial page. I know that's not easy for everybody. My prayer for you is that you would be financial soulmates, not financial inmates, fighting with each other, experiencing stress and a lack of peace in your home around that issue. Do whatever you take. If you're an engaged couple or you're looking forward to getting married one day, make sure that you have that financial discussion with that potential mate, because money is the number one cause of divorce in our culture today. It's financial stress. It's financial stress. Everybody needs a long-term and a short-term financial plan. A short-term financial plan is called, yeah, I'll just say the word, budget. And everyone goes, oh, it's the big groan. I understand that. Think of it as a wise saving plan. Okay, a budget is a wise savings plan that tells you where your money goes before you wonder where it went. Okay, do I need to say that again? A budget is a wise savings plan where you say, this is where my money's going to go, before I wake up one day and say, where did it all go? Well, if you're in that place where you say, I don't know where it all went, then you need a budget. And a husband and a wife need to come together and make financial priorities and make financial decisions and then spend accordingly there. Simple plan. Simple, simple plan. But I know there are some decisions for you to make in the room today. Again, my heart and my prayer as a pastor is that you will experience biblical financial freedom, and you'll experience a peace. The devil will be far from your finances. It's not to say that you won't ever have a financial catastrophe or stress, times of stress or unemployment, but you plan for that. Just like the ant stores away, you plan for all of that. And there are some things you can't plan for. I get that. There are some of you that are in debt, not because you made a poor financial decision, but because circumstances fell upon you, maybe medically or otherwise, and you're in the position that you are. God wants to help you there. He has put a preponderance of wisdom, not only in the book of Proverbs, but all throughout the scriptures, to help us to be financially wise people, to be good and faithful stewards of the sacred trust that he's given to us. Free of debt, free from the love of money, free to give generously, free to have fun. You got to have a plan. It's a simple, simple, practical message today. No agenda here. Just passing on some stuff that we've learned through the pages of Scripture. We haven't always done it perfectly, but I tell you what, this works. This works. And my prayer is that you put it into practice today. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for giving us divine guidance in every area of our life, including our finances. Help us to be the kind of wise people who put this into practice right now. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
Thanks so much for being with us for today's Something Good radio message, Financially Wise and Otherwise. Dr. Ron Jones joins me in the studio. And Ron, I know you're passionate about the subject of personal finance. And I have a practical question that I think might help our listeners today. In your experience, what have been some of the objections to tithing? And what would you say in response?
Well, Brian, thanks for bringing up the topic. I know a lot of people have questions today about tithing, giving 10% of our first fruits and our resources to God. Is that a New Testament thing? Does it apply to us as New Testament believers or not? Here's the bottom line for me. I believe tithing or giving 10% is the biblical starting point in our giving. It's a floor. It's not a ceiling. And really what we're talking about is walking by faith in the area of our finances. Now, I realize there are many people listening who are struggling financially. And if you're one of them, I want you to know I sympathize with you. And if you'll visit somethinggoodradio.org, you can send your prayer request to us, and our ministry team will gladly pray for you. I encourage you to do that anytime for any reason, because we consider it a privilege to join you in prayer. But please hear me when I say this. You may be one of those people, and I've heard it for more than two decades in ministry. You may be one of those people who say, I can't afford to tithe. But I promise you, friend, you can't afford not to. Not if you want God's blessing on your finances. If you do, you need to enter into His economic principles and apply them to your financial life. As believers in Jesus Christ, we need to learn to walk by faith, not by sight. And that's true in every area of our life, not just our finances. But the subject today is finances, and I want to encourage you this way. The money you see in your checkbook and the bills you see in your mailbox, those are not the real story. If you walk by sight, you'll leave God out of the plans, and because there's no way all the numbers add up. I've been there before. But if you walk by faith, you won't care so much about the math. You don't even have to be good at math. Just look at that checkbook and look at those bills and say, I'm still going to do what God has called me to do. I'm going to walk by faith in my finances. I'm going to give Him 10% of my first fruits because He asked me to. And all of it is His money anyway. You do that, friend, against all mathematical logic, and then you'll begin to see God work in your finances and maybe even perform some miracles in that checkbook of yours. Don't take my word for it. Take His word for it. There's no area in our lives, anywhere in the Bible, where He says this, if you can't trust me, then test me. But He says this to us in the book of Malachi. He says, put me to the test in the area of your finances. Give me that first 10%, that biblical starting point, and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing for you that you cannot contain. That, my friend, is an exciting journey. It's a financial walk of faith that God will reward. He will meet you there. He will meet you at the point of your need, and even then some.
That's Dr. Ron Jones talking to us about the benefits of following God's financial plan for our lives. Next time on Something Good, Ron continues his series, Why Sayings, Guidance for Everyday Life. Ron, I know you want to say a quick word about what's in store tomorrow.
Today we talked about how we should manage our money. Tomorrow we'll move into a related subject, how we earn our money. And what I mean is God has a lot to say about our work and our work ethic, about the way we do our jobs and the way we treat people at our places of employment. So as we move ahead in our series, Wise Sayings, Guidance from Everyday Life, from the book of Proverbs, I want us to think about how we do what we do. Are we doing our work heartily as unto the Lord? Are we doing the best job we can, or are we slacking a bit? That's where we're headed tomorrow as we continue our study of some of King Solomon's wise sayings. Get ready for some more guidance for everyday life.
Join us then for Something Good when Dr. Ron Jones shares his message, Wisdom While You Work. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for listening.